John chapter 12. Then Jesus, verse 1, chapter 12. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany. Bethany. This little town of Bethany is mentioned frequently in the scriptures. You get your concordance, you'll find Bethany is mentioned several times. This was a hometown of a family of people that was special to our Lord. It was the home of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. Tells us that here in verse 1. He came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. Nearly an entire chapter in this book of John is devoted to the raising of Lazarus, the visit, the sickness of Lazarus, the visit of our Lord to the home of Mary and Martha, and then the raising of Lazarus by the power of our God. But our Lord came again to Bethany. Bethany. There were a lot of towns around there, a lot of big cities. But our Lord kept coming back to Bethany. Bethany. Oh, how blessed is a town where our Lord is pleased to visit. How blessed is a town where our Lord is pleased to reveal His grace and His word. You can talk all you want to about the world in general, and we certainly will try to fulfill the commission of our Lord and preach the gospel to every creature and go into all the world and preach the gospel. I'm willing, and we want to, and we'll do so as God enables us. We're trying to do that. But there are certain towns, there are certain places where the Lord is pleased to send His word and His presence effectually. And there are towns and cities where He does not. Bethany was a place where the Lord visited. Bethany was a place where the Lord had a beloved people. Bethany was a place to which He came back and visited quite often. Bethany, what a blessing. Think about it. Think about it. And there are towns and cities. Brother Groover, we have this experience in Mexico. Brother Milton Howard, this is true in Africa. These men drive their automobiles and take their message to a lot of places. A lot of villages, a lot of pueblos, a lot of places, a lot of towns, villages. And in some of those villages and pueblos and towns, God is pleased to raise up a people. God is pleased to raise up a church, raise up a pastor. Walter and Milton and Ken and Bill and Dan and these men go back again. Go back again, and God blesses. And that town is just blessed with the presence of the Lord and the fellowship of His people. And men come from other countries preaching the gospel to that town. And they go leave Meadow and go through Motul and Hocktoon and all these different, where there's nothing. Paganism, darkness, witchcraft, superstition. And then we come into a town, and there's an assembly of people. Isn't that something? But that's, let me show you that, hold my place there in John and turn to Acts. In Acts chapter 16, and maybe we'll get a little light on that here. Here's the Apostle Paul speaking, and he says in Acts 16, verse 6, Acts 16, 6. You have it there, listen. Acts 16, 6. Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the regions of Galatia, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. God said, don't go over there. And after they'd come to Mysia, they essayed or wanted to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit of God suffered them not to go. Don't go over there. And they, passing by Mysia, came to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and there stood a man of Macedonia praying him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately he endeavored to go to Macedonia, assuredly gathering the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to Macedonia. So I'm saying that when I read this, when I started on this message and read this, the Lord came to Bethany, not by accident, by choice. There were people there who loved him, but he loved them first. There were people there whom he visited, to whom he manifested his presence, who enjoyed his presence and blessings because he would. I'll be merciful to whom I will be merciful. There are lots of places the Lord has not been pleased to bless. And I'll tell you, the town of Ironton, Ohio, and Ashland, Kentucky, and this surrounding area here is a Bethany. This is a Bethany. The Lord Jesus Christ has been pleased to visit us in his grace, in his word, in his power, in his mercy. He's been pleased to raise up a people who love him and love his word, love his gospel, love one another, and are blessed with his presence. That's right. Let's give thanks. Let's cherish these days. It's not true everywhere. I'm here to tell you, it's not true everywhere. I'm talking about people and a place where the glory of God is preached, where the glory, religion is everywhere. And religion was everywhere else besides Bethany. But the Lord was in Bethany. Form and ceremony and ritualism was everywhere, but the Lord was in Bethany. There's a difference. The Lord was in Bethany. And this is the place here in this area where God's faithful veteran preachers from everywhere come and stand here and preach and share with you the Word of God and the blessings of God upon their ministry. And you have a part in supplying their needs and meeting their needs. This is unusual. What we have here is unusual. It's another Bethany. You see, David was aware of that. Let me show you what David said in 1 Chronicles. This is verse 1 Chronicles chapter 29. 1 Chronicles 29. And I'll be the first one to loud and clear declare, it's not because of us. Not unto us. Not unto us. Not unto us, O God. To thy name give glory. It's not because we would, it's because he would. It's not because we did, it's because he did. We love him because he loved us. You know, when they reported to the Lord that Lazarus was sick, they didn't say, Lord, he who loves you is sick. They said, Lord, he whom thou lovest is sick. That's right. What we have is by grace. That David knew that. Listen to David. In 1 Chronicles 29, verse 12. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 12. Both riches and honor come of thee. Thou reignest over all. In thine hand is power and might. In thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy name. But who am I? And what is my people? That we should be able to and able of God to offer so willingly after this sort. For all things come of thee, of thine own have we given thee. See what David's saying? David's counting the blessings. He said they all come from God. We're blessed. We're honored. God has visited us. But who are we? Who am I? And what is my people that God has been pleased to bless us in this way? We have to say it's even so, Father, it seemed good in thy sight, according to his will. But I do know this is a Bethany. Jesus came to Bethany. All right, verse 2. And there they made him a supper. There in Bethany, they made him a supper. There was a gathering in his honor. There was an assembly brought together in his name. They made a special supper. That's what we're doing here this morning. We've come together in his name. We've come together to honor him. We've come together for a feast. The people of the town didn't do this. It didn't say they had a supper down at the city hall in Bethany. They had it in Mary and Martha's home. The people of the town didn't do it. The people who loved him made the supper. The people who wanted to honor him and glorify him, they made him a supper. You know, because our Lord is pleased to bless a town and grace a town with his presence doesn't mean the whole town's going to receive him. Doesn't mean the whole town's going to believe him or the whole town's going to honor him. But his sheep will. His sheep will. Some of those fellows came to him and said, if you be the Christ, tell us plainly. He said, I told you. But you didn't believe me. You didn't believe me because you're not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. They believe me. And our Lord came to Bethany. The whole town didn't come together, and the whole town didn't honor him, and the whole town didn't pay tribute to him, but his sheep did. They made a supper, and it was for his honor. They made it for him. That's why we're here. We're not here to recognize ourselves or praise ourselves. We're here to honor him. A worship service, and there's so little of it in 1992, so little worship. There's a lot of religion, I know that. There's a lot of promotion, there's a lot of organization, and there's a lot of activity and much ado. But they made a supper for him. They called a gathering for him. They met to honor him. Him. And he promised to be there. He said, where two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be there. I'll be there. I'll be there. If they're there to honor me, if they're there in my name, I'll be there. Every time. So he came to Bethany and he made him a supper. An assembly gathered to honor him. To honor him. And there were many people involved in this supper and this gathering in his honor. I want us to look at some of them. You can just take your ballpoint pen if you want to and underscore these things as I come to them. These people. I want to talk about these people a little while. Blessed is the town where our Lord's pleased to visit, reveal his presence. And here they made a supper. They had a gathering of folks to honor him, pay tribute to him. And here the first person we meet is Martha. It says, and they made him a supper, and Martha served. And Martha served. Well, this morning I want to vindicate Martha. Martha's been the subject of a great deal of abuse. By me too. Every time someone preaches about Martha, they're about the only thing they reveal is our Lord's rebuke. Isn't that true? You ever heard anything preached on Martha? where she wasn't being ripped and rebuked. You remember what I'm talking about. They had that supper, and Mary was sitting at his feet, and Martha was busy in preparing everything, and she came in with her hands on her hips, and she said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve, and she's just sitting there at your feet?" And the Lord said, "Martha, Martha, Martha, thou art cumbered about with much care, but Mary has chosen the good thing." Now our Lord rebuked Martha for one reason. Not because she served, and not because she did have much care and wanted to serve him, but he rebuked her for her priorities. She put service above worship. You see that? That's the sole reason he rebuked her. She had her priorities mixed up. She had her priorities. Her attitude was wrong. And we've been there many times, haven't we? Her attitude was wrong. Her priorities were wrong. And the Lord straightened out her priorities. He said, service has its place, but this is the better thing. This is the needful thing. This is first. I wish all the, what we call churches would get their priorities straightened out. Serving God is needful, but worship is more needful. It's the one thing needful. If I never lift my hand again, I must love him. If I never preach another sermon, I must call on his name. That's the priority. That's getting them straight. Thank God for the Marthas. I want to vindicate Martha. Thank God for the Marthas who take care of the things that need to be done. Think of all the needs that are met by the Marthas. It says here, they made him a supper, and Martha served. They wouldn't have had a supper if Martha hadn't served. Isn't that right? I got up this morning. Now, I spend most of my time in preaching. Most of my time. You know that. And I got up this morning, and I went into the kitchen, and some Martha had been there before I got there, and my coffee was all ready to pour. And I sat down at the table, and I ate some toast and jelly because some Martha fixed it for me. Getting ready to come preach to you. And then I went in, took my shower and shaved, and I came in and pulled open the drawer, and lo and behold, some Martha had been there. There was clean underwear and socks and handkerchiefs. Wouldn't I have been a mess without her? See what I'm talking about? And then I came over here to the church. When I left here yesterday, this place wasn't very straightened out. They had a wedding and a reception, things like that. And I left here. I just left, and I went over and studied for my message this morning. And I came back this morning. It's all cleaned up. Some Martha beat me here. I'm sure glad she did, aren't you? And then I went in and got the bulletins to put out here for everybody. And you know something? I didn't have a thing to do with printing that bulletin, but there it was. Some Martha had been there. You understand what I'm saying? I picked up my water a while ago, and what do you know? Some Martha had filled the glass. Sunday school lesson, some Martha had them all ready for me. Our Bible school, I'd fret and fume and study and work on something to teach and preach and come over here, and the children would come over here, and all these Marthas running around here getting things ready for them. You boys and girls, think about it. You sat out here, and then you went back to class, and you just sat there, and there was a Martha ready to wait on you, take care of you, and even take care of your snack time. And some of you ladies are sitting in here right now listening to the message and worshiping God, but there's some Marthas in there taking care of your babies. You know that? There's some Marthas in there taking care of Martha served. Martha, don't belittle Martha. We need the Marthas. Martha, sir. And our Martha over here is going to sit down this week and write missionary checks. And she'll just sit there and spend money like it's going out of style. I mean, she'll write checks for a missionary, $1,000 and $2,000 here and $1,000 there, and not think a thing about it, and stick them in an envelope and dress them and mail them. Why? Some of these Marthas had covered it down here at the bank. All those checks will be covered. And she just sits down and writes them and mails them to the missionary, and they cash them. They cash them down there and buy gasoline for the truck and food for the table, and they send the check back here, and it's good. Because the Marthas have taken care of the business. I'm going to get on a plane Tuesday and fly to California, preach the gospel, because Martha bought my ticket. And out there, I'll get there with my bag and walk in. They'll have a place, a camper all ready for me to walk in and sit it down. They'll have the beds fixed and the table fixed, a place for me to study and everything. Some Martha got there before I did. You see what I'm saying? It's very simple, isn't it? They made him a supper. And Martha served. And in serving the Lord, she served his people. What did Solomon say? Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. As unto the Lord, whether you eat or whether you drink or whatever you do, do it unto the Lord. I just say this morning, let's give a hearty, heartfelt, sincere thanks to God for the Marthas. Don't you? Every one of them. Martha served. All right, let's look at the next fella. In verse 2, they made him a supper and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. You think about this. You think about this now. This fella, there's Christ, there's the Lord Jesus, there's our Redeemer. The Lord Jesus Christ sitting at the table. And sitting right there with him, next to him, is a fella that was dead. I mean, dead. In fact, his own sister said he stank. What she said? She said, Lord, don't roll away the stone. He stinks. He stinks. His own sister said he stinks. But Lazarus heard the voice of the Lord. And our Lord stood outside the grave of him who was dead and who stinketh. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. And old Lazarus came forward. And here he is now, Bob, sitting with the Lord. Is this not the testimony of everybody here this morning who's heard his voice? You were dead. Dead in trespasses and sin. And according to your own testimony and the testimony of those that knew you best, you stinketh. That's right. By nature, by birth, by practice, and by decay. But one day you heard the gospel of his wonderful grace, of his precious blood, and of his perfect holiness and righteousness, and you believe, and you arose, and now you're seated with him. Seated with him. In the heavens. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Let me show you this. Ephesians chapter 2. Listen to it. Ephesians 2, verse 1. And you, Lazarus, you hath he quickened who were dead. Dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh, of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, made us live raised us up together with Christ. By grace are you saved, has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We sit with him, seated with Christ in the heavens. Because God in his mercy and grace came to where we were and said, live. Lazarus, come forth. And now we're seated with him. That's the story of all of us, isn't it? Seated with Christ. All right, let's move on. In verse 3 says, and Mary, Martha served, Lazarus sat, exalted. Lazarus sat with Christ. And then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard. Very costly. Very costly. Here she is at his feet again. And she anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his hair, his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. You know, all of these pictures, Martha serving, Lazarus sitting, Mary worshiping, all of them are part of the believer's life. We do all of them. The believer serves, the believer sits, he rests. He's entered into his rest, sits with Christ. The victory is won, and yet he worships. And we find Mary here at the feet of Christ. That's where you usually find Mary. That's humility. Contrition, sitting at his feet. Here's a beautiful young woman who takes her place sitting at the feet of our Lord. And she brought the best she had. I think it's very significant here that it says Mary took a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly. Very costly. She didn't bring Christ something that she didn't need, or something secondhand that she'd already worn out. She didn't bring Christ something fickle and something that was unworthy of him. I don't know where she got this ointment or how long she had had it or the value of it. I do know it was very, well, Scripture says, very costly. But I tell you, with Mary, who worships Christ, the very best is not too good for him. He's worthy of the very best. The very best. She got the best she had. She got that which was very costly, that which was very important to her, and she bought it. And what'd she do with it? She just poured it all over his feet. Just poured it all over his feet. Just took this ointment and just... She didn't say, you can have a little of it and I'll keep the rest of it. She took it all and just dumped it and poured it on his feet. My life, my love, my all, I give to thee, O Christ who died for me. Here it is. I'm at your feet, and I pour every bit of it on your feet. He said, she's anointing me for my burial. She knew he was going to die. This was the days leading up to the cross, and she figured she'd never have a opportunity, the death he was going to die and the hands of, into which he would be delivered, that she'd probably never see him after he's dead and could not anoint his body. And Christ said, she just anointed it ahead of time. And he said, this will be told about her as long as this gospel's preached. And that's something that's happened 1900 years ago, Becky, and I'm still talking about it. Still talking about it. She gave all. I tell you, when you come to this place of worship, that's when you give all. That's when you give everything. And then not only that, but she wiped his feet with the hair of her head. I watch you ladies. I know how you take care of that hair. I know it's very important. In fact, across the street from me is a beauty shop, and they in now there all day long. Coming out, they look better when they went in and out all day long. I'm glad they come in and out. They just, but this girl, this woman, undid her hair, and then she just wiped his feet with her hair. That's love, isn't it? That's condescension, but nothing like he condescended for us. And you know something? It says here the odor of that ointment filled the house. I tell you, oh, that this house might be filled with the odor of worship and the odor of love. The odor that filled the house was a result of an act of love, an act of worship. Started with Mary. If she hadn't have been in love with Christ and humble and willing to give the best she had and brought it to the feet of Christ and poured it out, there would have been no odor. But the odor of her devotion and the odor of her consecration and the odor of her love, boy, it smells so good. Where people meet in the name of Christ and love him and worship him and adore him, it smells sweet. Where they meet to organize and carry on whatever they carry on and brag on each other, it doesn't smell too good. It smells a whole lot like advantage or covetousness or something we're going to gain by what we're doing, you know, and we're going to have more next Sunday than this Sunday so we can brag on what we had next Sunday. But oh, worship smells good, doesn't it, Cecil? Smells good. The odor fills the house. That song, the reason I said to Mike, that was a special, because it worshiped him. I still smell it, don't you? All right, Martha served. Thank God for Martha. Lazarus sat. Thank God for God's grace that has seated us in Christ positionally, eternally. Thank God for Mary, who sat at his feet and worshiped. Here comes the sad part of this assembly. I hate to even get into it, but I must. There were some more folks there. Unfortunately, where the presence of Christ is manifested, there are those who, for whatever reason, cannot worship him, cannot rejoice in him, cannot find their meat and their drink to feed upon him. Then one of his disciples, verse 4, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, "Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?" Judas began to complain about the waste, complain about the cost, complain because they didn't do more for the poor. Well, verse 6 said that wasn't the real reason. What he said was not his real problem. That's generally true. What he said was not his real problem was himself, his greed. He was a thief. Says here in verse 6, this he said, not because he cared for the poor. That wasn't it at all. He was a thief. He had the bag. He was the treasurer. He carried the money. He bagged what was therein. And usually you'll find those that disrupt worship and those who can't be happy with the presence of the Lord, those who cannot love him and worship him and adore him, they've got some underlying motive, greed or something like that. Selfishness, what they say is not what they mean. Not at all. They've got a purpose for it. And Judas, when he came here, he said he saw all this ointment poured on the feet of Christ. And, oh, he said, what waste. The poor people out there that we could be feeding. The poor people out there that we could be taking care of. That wasn't his problem. His problem, he didn't love the one that they were worshiping. He didn't love the one whom Martha was serving. He didn't love the one with whom Lazarus sat. He didn't love the one upon whom they lavished this goodness and mercy and this praise. Well, the Lord said to him, then Jesus said, leave her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. The poor you have with you always. And we do help the poor and the unfortunate here, but our main purpose is to preach the gospel. Amen. We do help the unfortunate, but our main purpose is to honor Christ, glorify Christ, and preach the gospel. The poor is going to be here. They're going to be here when this church is gone. You have laziness and everything else. You have people who, that's their frame of being. That's the, they work harder at being poor than you do at having sufficient. That's right. Many of them do. And you're going to have them. But the gospel has priority. The gospel has priority. That's what Christ said here. The poor you have with you always, but me you have not always. And then there were some more people there. Much people of the Jews, therefore, knew he was there. And they didn't come for Jesus' sake only. Isn't that, underscore that. They came not for Jesus' sake only. That's not why they gathered. That's not why they came. They didn't come to worship him. They didn't come to honor him. They didn't come to glorify him. They didn't come for that reason at all. They came to see Lazarus, whom he raised from the dead. They came to see. They were curious. They came to see Lazarus. They came to see the preacher. They came to see Lazarus, or they came to see somebody else. But this will always be the case. But I believe this. Perhaps as they come around, one day they may come to see him. Come on, keep coming. Even the curious, even the whatever. But come. Because, you know, if you want a flower to grow, put it in the sunshine and the rain. Don't put it under the house. Because sunshine and rain may make it live. And that's the reason I say even people that don't come for Christ's sake, come for some other purpose. Come on. It may be that your attention will be drawn away from whatever you're interested in to him. And then, last of all, and I'll close, last of all, there were some more folks around. They weren't there. They were out yonder somewhere. Verse 10, the chief priest, the religious leaders, they consulted. They got together. They plotted to destroy Lazarus. Let's put him out of business. Let's get rid of him. Let's get rid of him. They might put him to death because, by reason of Lazarus, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Now, that place, that town, where the Lord has been pleased to visit and to bring his gospel and to honor his son, have people that serve him, and people that worship him, and people who sit with him. But they always have their enemies. And usually their greatest enemies, if they're honoring Christ and glorifying Christ and preaching his gospel, their greatest enemies will be among the religious who profit by religion. And they want to put that place out of business and that man out of business where Christ is glorified. And you need not expect them to say anything good about that supper. They won't say anything good. You see, those people came together to honor Christ. And out yonder on the outskirts were the chief priests, and they objected to it. They had their temple over there. They were in business over there. That's how they made their living over there. They had a big outfit over there. It had to be paid for, and all building program, and all these things. And if people worship Christ, they're not going to follow the shenanigans of these people. So their aim is to get rid of Lazarus. If we can just get rid of him, because he's a witness to the power of God. He's evidence that Christ is the Son of God. As long as he's there, we got trouble. Understand what I'm saying? As long as he's there. All right, let's sing a song. I hope that's a blessing to you. I hope that you'll remember that message and bear fruit. Number 49.